Hey, did you hear the one about the grumpy old man who hated everything and didn't understand why people do the stupid things they do? Well, you're about to. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Hey.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hello. Oh my God. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. How are you? Good to be with you and all that stuff. You just sit down and shut up. I'll take it from here. If you even have a psychotic condition where you talk to yourself all the time, take a little vacation from that. I'll take over from here. Oh, man. These are not easy times. No, stock market, not good, not good, not good. Worldwide pandemic, not good, not good. Growing exponentially in the United States, the pandemic, yeah, not good, not good. But, hey, whatever. That's not why you come here, is it? That's not why you come here to hear that kind of stuff. The big question is, do I have allergies? Do I have a cold? Do I have the flu? Do I have the coronavirus? I mean, like, which is it? I got the sniffles. What is it? There are no testing kits. Nobody knows. Here's the deal, and I'll talk about this for no more than a minute, and then I swear I'll move on. Please don't go anywhere else. Although, try to find a place where they're not talking about this. This country will be realizing within a short period of time just how many people have been infected by this coronavirus, etc. And it's going to be staggering. And my prediction is that's going to happen in a very, very short period of time. And just because you have the coronavirus doesn't mean you're going to die from it. If you're a child or a young adult, you may not even show symptoms, yet you're a carrier. That's a problem. Older parents and grandparents, seniors are most affected. If you have any underlying health conditions, like a hangnail, you have to be concerned. And what's going to be happening, my prediction is, I'll get off of the subject really quick. I'm just saying, prepare for this. Many of the large gatherings will be canceled. Already the St. Patrick's Day parades in many major locations have been canceled. You're going to see sporting events canceled, audiences canceled, plays canceled, any large gathering of people, perhaps even when you go to the movies, you might want to think twice. I'm just saying, but Ron, we've got to get out and we've got to live our lives. Well, sure, but it may not be like very enjoyable because you may get sick from it. See, what I've done through my whole life, and it's probably not the best way of living, is I take precautions. And when I take precautions, usually nothing really happens. And I think that's applicable right now. I'm going to get off the subject. I'm just saying, prepare yourself for a shift in lifestyle for hopefully a short period of time. I believe that's on the horizon. Okay, let's move on. Oh, Ron, did you have to open with that? Hey, everybody else is. What do you want me to do? Live with my head in a box like Trump? Just say, oh, it's a hoax. Everything's a hoax. Everything's a hoax with him. I think his presidency has been the hoax. Ron, you are so funny. So how you doing otherwise? You doing okay? Good. That's good to hear. Good. Yeah, you eating well? You eating well? You sleeping well? Huh? 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 You taking care of yourself? See, I care. Nobody else cares about you but me. I don't even know you. But I care. It's easy to care for people I've never met. The burden is minimal. Saying nice things about somebody is minimal until you're really faced with them and you can't bring yourself to do it. Oh, Joe, he's a great guy. Oh, really? Here's Joe. That's Joe. Ew. See, doesn't work. Recently, boy, this happened last week and I didn't talk about it, but it was amazing to me. Did you ever hear of Nick Walenda? Huh? He's your plumber? No. Nick Walenda is one of the flying Walendas. Walenda sounds like a disease, doesn't it? I can't go to that function. I could catch the Walenda virus. That sounds bad. The Walendas, a famous acrobatic circus team, high wire act, all that kind of stuff. They were daredevils. So Nick Walenda, that's spelled N-I-K, because you got to be different these days. Who's that? Is that Nick? No, it's Nick. Oh, Nick with just a K. Oh. Nick Walenda is a daredevil. He does stuff where he should be shitting his pants, but he tries to make you do it instead. He has done a high wire act between buildings. He has, I believe, done a high wire act across the Grand Canyon, probably the narrow part. He does that kind of stuff. I think he did Niagara Falls. Who didn't? I did Niagara Falls in 72. Not the high wire act, but a young lady in a hotel room. And it was quite a feat. Anyway, that's besides the point. So Nick Walenda, last week, or the week before, who knows? I have no concept of time anymore. He went to Nicaragua. Well, vacation spot? Of course. There's a volcano there, as one might venture to guess. What Nick did, as most people would do when they see a volcano, is he strung a wire across it, nailed it down on both ends, and decided to cross over the top of the volcano. A natural reaction to seeing a volcano in Nicaragua. Nick lives his life trying to end it, apparently. So is this man totally depressed? Nick, why do you risk your life? What difference does it make? Life is horrible anyway. Nobody speaks to me. All my family members are dying in accidents from high wire acts. Why even live? Why don't I just try to kill myself?
And make money.
So Nick does it. He actually goes, I didn't watch it because what happens is these shows are 2 to 3 hours long. And for like 2 hours and 45 minutes... it's like the Super Bowl. You know, the Super Bowl lasts, what, 3 hours? But the pregame is like 8 hours long. They talk about it, and then it happens, and it's like, oh, that's it? You did all this talking, and that's it? Well, that's what happens with the Nick Walenda specials. Sounds like a 4 o'clock dinner meal in Florida. Did you have the Nick Walenda special? Yeah, it was good. It's tasty, man. So yeah, they talk about Nick and his background and the stuff he's done and the kind of person he is, and they talk about this like for 2 hours, and then you see Nick actually crossing the volcano, and you realize I'm totally bored now. Here's my takeaway from the whole thing, and this is what makes me the wonderful person that I am. My takeaway is if Nick falls off the high wire into the volcano and burns to death, and so what? Like, what's your point? It's not like Nick did something that brandished punishment for him to risk his own life. He did nothing wrong, really. It's his total choice. No one's taking a gun to his head and say, if you don't go across the volcano, your family, your wife, you know what I'm saying? You'll never see her again. okay, I'll go across the volcano. It's not like that. Nick does this on his own. And if you're going to self-aggrandize yourself to the point where people are going to gawk at you because you're going to do something where you could die, not only if you fall in the volcano do I not care, but I don't care about all the people that are watching you fall in the volcano either, because they also have problems in mere fact that they decide to watch you for 3 hours do this stupid thing. I don't know. Is it? Do you get into heaven for free? I mean, what happens, Nick, if you die in the volcano? Is that like God says, well, good for you. Come on in, Nick. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think how that was good for mankind, really. So, Nick, I hope your next feat of death-defying activity is even worse. Why don't you just jump from a plane without a parachute and let us watch it? It's going to be on YouTube anyway. So what the hell, Nick? Let's just get this over with. Let's end it. I mean, you're obviously trying to kill yourself on an annual basis on television. Let's get to it then, man. What are you wasting time for with these little high wire acts? Let's get to it. Let's get down, baby. Come on down, Nick. Now, do I admire Nick for the fact that he is not scared of death? No. No. If you're not scared of death, Nick, then fine. What do you want from me? What's your purpose toward me? I don't know. Maybe Nick Melinda should be president. Apparently anybody can be. So what the hell? I don't know. Did you watch the Nick Melinda Volcano High Wire Act? You did? Seriously? All right, I know you didn't. Don't kid me like that. You're trying to play with me, aren't you? You're a player. You're really something. Crazy people. You're all crazy. Every one of you. Not you. The one next to you. Yeah, that's the crazy one. All right, Nick.
Shut up!
Just shut up, Nick. Anyway, thanks for being here. You, I don't know.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show, winner of every international and global podcasting award Ron has given himself. He writes them in crayon, on construction paper. It's actually kind of cute.
I am kind of cute, in an odd way. I was watching a commercial last night at 1 in the morning. I didn't fall asleep till like 1:30. It happens every once in a while. A little gas, a little alcohol. You'll be surprised how that'll keep you up. Anyway, actually the gas, more so. So I'm watching late night commercials there, you know, these infomercials. And a commercial comes up for the Sunsetter awning. Have you seen this commercial? There's a guy and his wife standing in their backyard, and they're sweating like pigs. And there's nothing more demonstrative than a husband and his wife sweating like pigs, standing on their beautiful deck behind the house. And it's sunny outside. And what they do is they have the Sunsetter awning, which is either automatic by the touch of a button, or you can crank it open. But it cools their deck area a good 10 to 20 degrees cooler, they claim. So they go on about this, and at the end, the guy says, who's hawking the thing, the awning, he says, and the Sunsetter awning is assembled in the USA. And I stopped for a second, and I thought, wait a minute, if I don't think about this, you've just said something that is stupid. Yes, the Sunsetter awning. See, if something has anything to do with the USA in it, then you figure immediately just by hearing that, oh, I'm going to get this. It's supporting our country with jobs and finances and stuff and purchases and in the USA. Let me tell you something. Unless the item is made in the USA, it's all not that impressive. Sure, it's assembled in the USA by some guy named Pedro at 3 o'clock in the morning who also can't sleep. But the parts are coming from other countries, probably China, until the coronavirus. Now China's really not doing anything. That's why the economy's starting to suck bad. But so the parts are purchased from other countries, and some couple of guys are assembling it here in the United States, and that's supposed to impress me. Let me tell you something. When I used to buy toys for my kids, I assembled them in the USA in my living room. Seriously, did you ever buy one of those knockdown cabinets or bureaus or something? You have to put it together yourself and the instructions are in Chinese and you can't quite figure out how they even wrote the instructions? Well, those are assembled in the USA in my house. So don't tell me that was assembled, this awning is assembled in the USA. I'm not impressed. If you made it in the USA, I would be impressed. Somebody assembled it in the warehouse? Not impressed. I'm sorry. You tried to put one over on me, but it's me. I gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. Assembled in the USA. Seriously? Yeah, I put my batteries into my flashlight to make it go on in the USA. I bought some batteries. I put the batteries in the flashlight in the USA. God. You gotta look a little deeper when stuff happens around you. A little bit deeper. I was in the supermarket yesterday, as I am for many days of my life. And what bothers me the most are not so much people that back into parking spaces. That bothers me. That bothers me. Why go to all the toil and trouble of backing your car into a parking space? Usually takes two or three tries. You're backing into a tiny little slot. Do you realize that if you pull into the slot forward normally, it's only one try. And when you back out, you have this whole big area behind you to back out of. I every time I see somebody back into a parking space, I say to myself one of two things. Either they have some type of obsessive disorder where they've got to be so neat like a pin that they set everything up for the future. Everything has to be perfectly ready for the next step. That, which is a disorder, by the way, that or you're about to rob the store and you need to get away quickly. Quick, Joe, grab it and run to the car. Let's get out of here before they catch us. Other than that, there's no reason to back into a space. No reason whatsoever. Try to come up with one. There isn't. Backing into a space. Who the hell do you think you are? I'm backing into a space because I know that eventually I'm going to leave it and I want to make it as easy as possible to leave the area. Why? Why? What's your point? Because when I leave, I want it to be easy. I'm setting myself up for my inevitable departure. That's a disorder. Deal with it. Speak to somebody. Have an intervention. There's something wrong with you. You're over-organizing. These same people, when they go to a supermarket and they're walking down, see, the aisles of supermarkets are not meant to be superhighways. They're two-lane things, maybe two shopping carts wide at the most, some even narrower. What most considerate people would do is they would take their shopping cart, and if they want to pick something off the shelf or look at something on the shelf, you pull your shopping cart to the side. And then you continue to investigate your product so that other people can get by. Here's what happens in supermarkets that I see all the time, and I'm sick of it. Someone's going down the aisle, right in the middle. They see something on the shelf. They abandon their shopping cart right in the middle of the aisle. So you can't get by the cart on the left, and you can't get by the cart on the right. And they just leave it there, and they go to the side. And I feel like saying, hey, hey, but I don't, because that would cause a fight. That would be like road rage, cart rage, aisle rage. Sometimes I'll move their cart a little bit, but now I've gotten into the bumping thing, into the bumper cars. And I bump into this person's cart, and they turn around. They go, oh, sorry. And yeah, yeah, yeah. Some ladies, stupid, stupid ladies, and I say it because of ladies have pocketbooks because ladies have pocketbooks. Men don't have pocketbooks for the most part. And they leave their pocketbooks in the shopping carts, and then they don't put them to the side. They just like go over and look at something on the shelf. So there's this shopping cart and their pocketbook in it. What's to stop me from grabbing the pocketbook? Not that I ever have. If I did, I'd back my car into the space in the parking lot so I could get away quickly. I don't take their pocketbook, but like, why in a supermarket do ladies figure, well, if they take my pocketbook, they take my pocketbook. What happened to your brain? What happened to your brain? What happened to your brain? When I look at an item on the shelf, do I take my wallet out of my pants and just leave it on the top of the cart? No. I don't understand some of you. Some of you are as crazy as Nick Willenda. Nick Willenda's crazy, and so are you. All right. We have a guest, a short guest today. Well, not short in the sense of their height. My guest is only 3 feet tall. No, it's a short interview. I mean, it won't take very long. It won't take too much of your time. Hopefully the information contained therein will be worth your time, even though it's a short interview conducted by a short person. I don't know what it's like to be short. I'm 6'3" tall. I'm tall. I'm as close to a giraffe as you can get. My perspective of everybody is looking down upon them, which is also, personality-wise, the way I operate. Ron, you look down upon me? Yes, in every regard. I've never been short. I don't even bend down to pick up change off the floor, so I don't even know what it's like to be down near the floor at all for any reason. But I can't imagine what it's like to be short, where your perspective is always like looking up at somebody's crotch or seeing the bottom of their chin. I don't know what that's like. I don't. I don't know what it's like. Do I need to know? No, not at all. Why? Look, we're all the same. All I can tell you is tall people don't have Napoleonic complexes. And I think you know what the Napoleonic complex is. You overcompensate because you're short with your command and your personality, which is larger than what you actually are and larger than what most people should be exercising. It's funny to watch short people with Napoleonic complexes. I find that incredibly humorous, like watching a circus clown in the center ring of a circus. Similar. Or watching poodles jump through hoops. Also very funny. Poodles should not be jumping through hoops. There's no reason for it. I doubt the poodle wants to do that. but it makes the trainer look really important. I can train a dog to jump through a circle. Wow, you're special. You and your dog, you're both special. So impressive. My God. It's not how do you do that, it's more why do you do that? All right, I'm shorting my guest. Ooh, funny, Ron. Pun? Not really. All right, let's speak to our guest. Dr. Carlos Nunez joins us. He's ResMed's chief medical officer, and we're talking about sleep disorders and sleep apnea. Apparently, more than 50 million Americans have sleep apnea, and then probably there's a whole chunk of million that have sleep disorders even beyond that. And it really wreaks havoc on one's life sometimes, doesn't it, Doctor?
It sure does, yeah. We're starting to really understand how important sleep is for good health and wellness. And when you don't sleep well, especially if you have a disorder like sleep apnea that keeps you from sleeping well, the consequences can be devastating.
What are some of the consequences, indeed, that could arise by not getting a good night's sleep? And I guess in that particular situation, we're talking about respiratory problems.
Sure. Well, yes. So sleep apnea is a what we call sleep disordered breathing. It's a sleep disorder, but it manifests itself by a lack of air moving into the lungs. Because mm-hmm. you know, as we sleep, our bodies relax. The soft tissues in your throat start to collapse. And most people, it's fine. You might snore a little bit, yeah. but air still moves. But in, as you mentioned, in over 50 million Americans and nearly a billion people around the world, the airflow stops to the point where you're getting inadequate air and oxygen into your lungs, and after a certain amount of time, your brain starts to freak out. You are essentially suffocating.
Ooh. Ooh.
And when that happens, you set yourself up for all sorts of problems. In the short term, things like short-term memory problems, chronic tiredness and fatigue, which can lead to accidents, railroad accidents, car accidents, you name it. Mm. And then in the long term, the effects on your cardiovascular system lead to problems like high blood pressure, heart arrhythmias like atrial fibrillation, even heart failure. It's associated with an increased risk for obesity, type 2 diabetes, dementia, even Alzheimer's disease may have some connection to poor sleep. And there are even certain types of cancers that do poorly if you are diagnosed with them and you're not a good sleeper. You're going to do worse than someone who sleeps well. So it's a lot of different things that poor sleep, especially if caused by sleep apnea, can lead to.
I've seen some commercials on television just recently for the machines that one would wear. They used to be quite antiquated in the sense that they were gigantic contraptions, made a lot of noise, filthy dirty, and basically no one could sleep with that thing. Now they're like compact and quiet, and this is like a whole nother world for this treatment.
It really is. And to be honest, I'm a perfect example of some of those misconceptions. For many years, I denied that I might have sleep apnea, even as a physician, knowing better, because I was afraid that I'd have this big, loud, bulky machine on my nightstand and a massive thing strapped to my face.
Yeah.
And as you said, it's not the case at all. The devices have become really quiet and sleek. You know, the company I work for, we make devices that are actually connected to an app so you can see every morning how well you did with your device. And the masks are very small and comfortable. The one I wear is about the size of my pinky, and it just sits underneath my nostrils.
Wow.
And I actually look forward to wearing it because I know I'm going to wake up refreshed and my wife is not mad at me because I'm snoring in her ear. So
well,
it's a very different world.
Yeah, the black and blue marks on the ribs are less from the kicking.
Exactly. That might be the biggest risk.
That's the biggest one.
Yeah, getting elbowed at night.
And we also know that the machines are cleaner, and that's a big difference too because that was also a concern. So, you know what someone did to me once? They recorded me while I was sleeping just sound-wise, you know, just a sound recording. And from that alone, because I denied it, I said, no, I'm fine. That also is a good method. Where can people go for more information about this, Doctor?
Sure. Well, you can always start with your physician. If you have any concerns about your sleep or that you think you might have sleep apnea, maybe your bed partner has told you snore really loud or it sounds like you stop breathing, talk to your doctor. You can also search online. Sleep problems are very common. And so if you start typing into Google or some other search engine, it's going to pop right up, you know, why don't I sleep or what is sleep apnea? You can go to ResMed.com, our website. We've got information for patients there as well. But I would always start with your doctor.
Excellent. Dr. Carlos Nunez, thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Take care. Well, there you go. That was entertaining. Huh? Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm out of time for today. And it's not, I could go on forever. I know you have other things to do. But here's the deal. Why don't we come back again tomorrow? Anytime during the day, I'll be here. Just click on my face and we're good. And we'll have a brand new show for you. And it'll be a wonderful Thursday coming up. So until then, oh man, wow, this is crazy, isn't it? Until then, I wish you peace. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. There'll be a short survey at the end of the show asking you how much you like the show. It's because we care. Actually, there's no survey. I just made that up. We'll be right back.